Hey, everybody. Happy Sunday. What's going on with you guys?
Talking about Nope.
Yeah. We finally got around to seeing this, goddammit. Yeah. It turned up on Amazon Prime.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad we didn't pay to see it. I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's not one of his best. It has some weird angles. It had a lot. It has shit I liked in it, like this fucking inexplicable monster. It was truly alien. What they show, you know, how they showed this thing. I couldn't figure out what it was. I just saw the things that it did.
Going to have, like, some spoilers. Because I kind of feel like this is a good movie to go into without really knowing what to expect. Mm-hmm. And I think that they were really actually successful when they were marketing it. Because I remember, like, when it was coming out back in 2022. And I remember seeing all the trailers for it. And I'm like, what the fuck is that movie even? But it's like, it looked really intriguing because they kept everything very ambiguous and, like, mysterious. And I think that was a good way to go because everybody was like, what the fuck is this? Like, we got to see this movie. And it ended up making, like, a, you know, all the money, like a shit ton of money.
It made a lot of money?
$171 million, okay.
It was decent. It's kind of starts slow, if you ask me, though.
It's a bit long, I will say that.
It's longer than it has to be. It's not an action movie. The story's build-up is kind of character-driven, I guess.
Yeah.
But the characters, for me, they're not that compelling. Most of the situation is not that compelling. It's not compelling until this damn flying saucer shit starts showing up. Then it gets a little bit better. They show you some weird shit happening in the very beginning to try to put a hook in you, but it takes a long time for the payoff. So the pacing feels a little off, if you ask me. But a decent flick. Decent flick. The alien monster fucking was a good design because it was just so unique.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to have spoilers. If you haven't seen this movie, like I said, it's better to go into it not knowing what to expect, really. So this is kind of going to have... I don't know if we're going to spoil it, but, I mean, we're going to have to talk about, like,
some of it
stuff.
I don't understand.
It's... I will say that unlike... I didn't like it as much as Get Out or Us, but I will say that this movie... unlike Get Out or Us, which seemed like that it was pretty... I mean, Us was a little bit weird, like a little bit ambiguous, but you didn't have to think too hard to, like, figure out, like, the underlying metaphor, like, what he was talking about. I kind of feel like this one, even though I kind of got it, it's a lot more open to interpretation, and it's a lot subtler, I feel like, than his other two movies.
Yeah, I know the thing was eating people. I'm not really sure how they killed it or why it died. It does a lot of shit that there's no explanation. It's just some alien shit that it does, which is kind of weird. I think that's kind of accurate. If you ever came across an alien creature, you probably wouldn't understand what you were seeing. I don't know. I guess to spoil it, I mean, at first it looks like a flying saucer, but then you realize it's sucking up people out of the ground using a vacuum and then blowing the dirt back out of its mouth. Guess it's got a mouth or something in the bottom of it. And then over time it just unfolds into this big wispy kite-like looking thing.
Yeah.
And it can make geometric shapes out of its fucking skin that look impossible. I don't know. I guess it was talking. I don't know.
Well, I think what it was that he used, like, for the monster design, like, he actually used sea creatures largely. Mm-hmm. And I think that the fact that it had that square eye/mouth or whatever, he said, I read somewhere that he got that idea from, like, a biologist that told him that octopus and stuff like that, like, actually had square eyes. Hmm. And also, I think he was trying to evoke a camera shutter.
Okay.
Because there was kind of a lot of, I mean, it looked like a camera shutter, like the thing's mouth/eye/anus. Was it all one thing? I'm not really sure. It just had one opening, like a lot of sea creatures. But yeah, it did kind of, like, unfold a lot. And I think, too, they were kind of, maybe he was kind of, like, subtly referencing that, the praying mantis, like, earlier that was, like, on the camera. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe.
So I think that.
Maybe. It's hard to say. And then it did some other cool shit, too. What was it? They killed it in a weird way. I don't know how it died, but it did kill it. It's just a lot of things weren't explained about its biology. You were just kind of left hanging.
Yeah, and it, like, yeah, and it didn't really say like how long it had been here. So, but yeah. Like I said, I don't really think that needs to be explained necessarily. No. I think it makes it
weirder.
It makes it weirder.
It was hiding in a cloud. They noticed that what cloud was always there and it would never go away.
Yeah, it would have been there for like months and it hadn't moved.
It was in that cloud on the horizon, and it would come out and eat people.
Hugo said, I like this movie because it tried something different, but Get Out is my fave. Yeah, I think of all of them, Get Out is still my favorite one. But I like that Jordan Peele is making these weird, ambitious films, and it's like people are going to see them, so he's like being allowed to do that, and I think that's really cool. Because you don't usually see these kind of big-budget movies that are as kind of weird as this one is.
Yeah.
You can tell, and he didn't make a secret about this either, because he's like a big film buff, but he was inspired a lot by Steven Spielberg's films, particularly Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which this is kind of like. Also Signs, the M. Night Shyamalan movie. Jurassic Park, Jaws, like those kind of like monster movies. King Kong, he said he used that. And also Wizard of Oz. Also, a lot of people have pointed out that there's like a lot of anime in this one. I don't know if it's Akira, but it's like another one. But he makes like a lot of references to like some anime in this as well, because he's a big fan of that.
Keith Davids makes a cameo appearance in it just for a few seconds, then he's gone. But I think there should have been more Keith David.
Yeah,
pretty sure that was him, at least by the voice.
It was. It was him. Yeah. Yeah. He was only. Yeah. He played like the main character, Daniel Kaluuya. He played his dad, and so he was only in it like at the beginning, and then spoiler alert, he gets killed. Like pretty.
He gets killed in a few minutes. Yeah.
Like in the first few minutes, and then I think they show him again like later on, like, in a flashback.
Yeah.
But I think what they're talking about, Jeffy Art says, with a background in post and VFX, the movie themes resonated with me. With its depiction how VFX and BTS crew get treated and exploited in the industry, something that continues to this day. And I think that that was one of the themes. I think there were kind of two themes going on with this. I think that the main theme was kind of about the movie industry and how it exploits kind of the people on the bottom. Like you said, like people that just like work on the movies, like behind the scenes. Like, you know, the main characters in this movie are, you know, horse wranglers, and they get kind of treated like crap and other things like of that nature. And I think that the monster too is kind of a metaphor of like Hollywood, like chewing people up and spitting them out, because that's like what the monster does, literally. And also Steven Yeun's character, who, you know, was on the set of, like, as a child actor, was on that TV show where the chimp went ape shit, went chimp shit, and, you know, mangled all those people and killed those people, but he survived. And yet, because he was the survivor later on, like, when he grew up, he also, like, exploited that tragedy, like, for his own gain, like, opening up his own park. And also, there's a thing, too, the other theme, which is sort of related, is about how maybe you think that you can control the uncontrollable, like animals, what they're talking about. That's why the characters are horse wranglers, and there's kind of a whole thing about training the horses, and like one of the horses, you know, kicking out after OJ tells them, hey, you know, don't look him in the eyes or whatever. And I think there's a thing too where Steven Yeun's character, Jupe, he thinks because the chimp didn't kill him at the beginning that he can tame and exploit this alien creature for his park, because he got away with that. You know what I mean? So Jean Jacket is what they end up killing. They end up calling the alien, which like they named after like a horse that they talked about. It was like a whole scene. But yeah, so I definitely like, I think this is a movie that, and I've heard this from other people, they're like, they, if you watch it more than once, and I think this was also true of us, you pick up a lot more of the subtleties, because when I was like reading other people's reviews and like other things about it, there's a lot more detail in there than it appears, I guess, like at first blush, but you just really have to be paying attention to like pick up on it. That said, I do think the buildup was a little slow.
Yeah.
Because I think that they kind of, I don't know if they kind of marketed this as a horror movie, and it's not really a horror movie. It has horror elements, especially toward the end. But I'm not actually really sure what genre I'd call it. It's sort of marginally a sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
Actually, Wikipedia calls it a neo-Western science fiction horror film, which, okay. I mean, it does have, like, Western elements to it as well. So it's just kind of hard to classify, which I usually like stuff like that, like people that kind of experiment with different
tonally,
genres.
Tonally, in a lot of places, it reminded me of, like, one of the early versions of, what was the name? shit, what was the series that had the Tremors?
Yeah, like, kind of, yeah, a like little
Tremors.
Bit.
It's taking place out in the desert. There's some kind of weird alien monsters. Instead of underneath the ground, it's in the sky. And then they got to go kind of fight this thing. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Tremors. But only, I guess, only in certain tones, only in the tone of certain scenes. The tone of the dialogue is a lot different. It's kind of slow in the beginning. And a lot of the stuff seemed unnecessary at the time. But though, if you probably go back and watch it, it probably has a significance.
It's I think that's kind of what it is. And I do kind of feel like I said, I do kind of feel like there was a lot of stuff going on in this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure.
A lot of it didn't look like it was necessary.
Right. And maybe if you go back and watch it again, like, you'll pick up all the connections between. Because I think that I picked up a lot more the second time we watched Us, because we saw that in the theater twice.
The whole chimp story didn't seem to be necessary. There's a lot of stuff that didn't seem to be necessary. Referring back to the damn horse that was not trainable. He's trying to give a message there, but I don't think it was necessary. It didn't make for a real and enjoyable movie.
Right. I did like the scenes with the chimp thing.
Yeah.
But I do think it does tie in with the larger narrative, because like I said, it ties in with the whole exploitation theme because of Jupe using the fact that he survived that tragedy like as a springboard like to make money later on. Yeah.
It's like kind of irrelevant to the monster, though. If you
then what I was gonna say, I was gonna finish that, was that, but also because he survived it, which he saw as miraculous, so he kind of got a little bit up himself and thought, oh well, the chimp didn't kill me, so this alien isn't gonna kill me either. Yeah. Like I can tame it and use it for my own, just like he did, like with the tragic backstory.
Well, you're a writer,
right?
So you understand that, and that's significant to you, but it's just just a regular pedestrian moviegoer. It's kind of like, you don't, as me just sitting there watching a movie trying to enjoy it, that's more information than I actually need. I want to just see him fight the monster. It's like it wasn't Tremors. Tremors is basically about fighting a monster.
Yeah.
And that's more of what I wanted more than anything else. I didn't really care about any message behind it. Like, what the fuck is the monster? Where does it come from? How are they going to kill this monster? That's kind of where I was going. You know, that's where my interest was. I didn't really care about any messages behind it.
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily a message, but it's just like a theme, I guess.
Yeah.
I think those were like the interconnected themes.
Right.
Thank you, Jeffy Art. Danny Rowling said, this would have been better if it were real aliens in a starship instead of a creature. I don't know, though, because I kind of feel like that's been done a lot.
I thought the creature was cool.
I thought the creature was cool, too. And I thought that was cool, like, in the middle, that you found out that it wasn't actually a spaceship, but it was actually, like, an organic.
Yeah, and it didn't make any goddamn sense. It was doing stuff that was fucking weird. And that's the way it would be, probably, if you saw a damn alien creature. You probably couldn't make sense out of it. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, I mean, it would be completely bizarre.
It looked like a sheet unfolding in the sky, and it was kind of geometric, and then it would blow up, and it would change shapes, and then it would do geometric patterns, and you just couldn't make... You wouldn't know what you were looking at.
I mean, can I say, too, that the cinematography in this and the VFX work and stuff like that was pretty spectacular. Yeah. And now I kind of wish that I had seen this on the big screen, because especially all the night shots and, like, all this... I mean, there were some great fucking...
Yeah.
Visuals in this. It looked amazing. Danny Rowling also said, this film was disappointing. I wanted to like this film, but didn't. Peele pretty much ripped off Jaws and Close Encounters and called it his own. Us is definitely his best, in my opinion. I really did like Us. I think that I probably liked this one less just because it's more sci-fi, and that's not usually my jam. So I liked, like I said, Get Out is still my favorite, but Us was great just because it was so creepy. And I think that it was, I don't know, I think that it didn't really make a lot of logical sense either, but a lot of horror movies don't. I think that Us was a lot more specifically horror themed, whereas this one was less horror and more sci-fi. It did have horror toward the end, like a
Us
monster movie.
Us had kind of a nightmare quality to it.
That's
the way my nightmares are. They don't make much sense.
That's what I'm saying.
There's a lot of subterranean stuff in my nightmares. Like, I get into a closet and notice that there's buttons on the side of the wall. It's like it's an elevator, and press a button and it goes down 30 floors underneath the ground, and when it opens up, I'm in a 1970s apartment.
Yeah, no windows. Yeah, I've had dreams like that. Like,
what the fuck is... Where is this fucking place? Just covered in dust, like nobody's been down there forever. And there's no windows. And you're like, who lives down here? And it's a whole warren and maze of rooms, like you're in a fucking old abandoned hotel. And you're very confused about where you are. And that's kind of the way Us was.
Yeah, and I really do like films that are able to accurately portray a nightmare like that.
Yeah.
And I think that that really did have that vibe to it.
You weren't sure if it was real or not.
I think that really the nightmarish imagery in this one was when they actually showed, like, the people that were sucked up inside Jean Jacket and, like, when he was eating them. And they were going, like, through his digestive tract and stuff.
Yeah, they were screaming.
And they were all screaming and shit. That was pretty alarming. But I think that was kind of, like, the scariest thing in it. So I'd say that this is more like a thriller, I guess, because it's kind of more like a slow build-up. It's like, you know, what is this thing that they're seeing? It's, you know, what is this stuff that's falling out of the sky? And then, like, once you figure out what it is and they're trying to like film it. Like I said, I kind of feel like the whole theme of it too, not just exploitation of like, you know, the people that, you know, on the film crews and things like that, but all of the characters are also trying to get a piece of this thing. They're all, I mean, the two main characters like OJ and Emerald, they're trying to film the shit so they can get on Oprah and like make all the money. You know what I mean? So, and they're doing like really stupid, dangerous things in order to get that. And then there's like other people wanting to get in on it too, like get a piece of the pie. So everyone's just trying to like hustle to make money off of, you know, whatever the spectacle is, even if it's like really dangerous. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that that's kind of another theme as well. Ben said he liked the movie. And then Danny Rowling said the bathroom over the house scene was good. Yeah, where like where the monster comes over and like basically like poops out like all the blood and watches and hands and things like that, like over the house. Which I think, I'm pretty sure that was an homage to War of the Worlds. Because I think there was a scene like that in the book, and I think they put that in the Tom Cruise version, did they not?
It was spraying out damn spores and stuff.
Similar. It was like red.
Yeah, well, it had been It had been fertilized, or not really fertilized, I guess you could say, human blood had been infused with it to give it. Yeah, I'd like to fertilize it. Remember that?
It was a
Martian red weed. And not only were they eating the people and drinking their blood, they were putting that blood inside the Martian weed and the spores and blowing it out through the tops of the damn war machines to terraform the planet. H.G. Wells knew what he was fucking talking about. If aliens came here and wanted to take this planet, they'd terraform it. They'd turn it into their own planet where they left.
Yeah.
And he included that. They didn't want the Earth as it is. They wanted it as you know, they wanted the Earth in their own light, in their own image, in the image of their planet, Mars, red. So they just figured it was a red weed growing all over it, like vegetation.
We just like it red, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Slash Fred says, since you are reviewing Nope, you should review the sci-fi classic Earth versus the Flying Saucers. Yeah, I do kind of feel like we were getting into doing some 50s sci-fi, and we did a bunch of them, but I don't think we got around to that one, so we eventually will, because I do actually want to, I really like that movie. Jeff Yard said the actor who played the sister, that was Kiki Palmer, definitely had charisma. It was interesting to see how the two siblings played off each other and how Angel wanted to tag along. Yeah, I really do, I did like the dynamic between Daniel Kaluuya's character and Kiki Palmer's character, because they were like polar opposites. They were like brother and sister. You know, he was very, you know, stoic, and it's like he wasn't really like reacting to much, and he seemed like he was very troubled, I guess, like by the dad's death and whatnot. And she was just very outgoing and like a little bit flaky. And, you know, you could see that they worked well as a team, but that they were like completely opposite. Michael Wincott is great in this movie as always. Love him on The Crow and 1492 The Conquest. Yeah, the guy, because you recognized him immediately as the villain from The Crow, right?
Yeah.
The guy that
yeah.
plays Antlers Horst, who is the filmmaker, who I'm assuming, I thought he was supposed to be like Werner Herzog, you know what I mean? Where he just like comes there and he's got like the hand-cranked camera and he's all like fucking cynical and everything. And then at the end, he wants to get that impossible shot. Like he lets himself get eaten by the alien so he can film the inside of it and shit like that. Did he, I mean, he knew that that was going to happen, right? That he was going to get eaten by the shit. I thought. I mean, it seemed like he did it on purpose. Hugo said, I think you should review the UFO incident with James Earl Jones based on real people. I've heard of that, but I don't think I've ever seen it.
I must have been one about Barney and fucking, what's his name, Betty and Barney that got taken
Betty
up.
Betty and Barney Hill?
Yeah, this, I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, and you know what? Now that it's like, that's such a famous case, but I don't think I've ever seen like a fictional movie based on that.
I think there's one in the 70s, and I think that's what he's talking about.
Early
70s, late 60s.
Well, let me write this shit down, because otherwise I'm going to forget everything, like I always do. Because it's like, I always get all these recommendations, and then I keep forgetting about shit. Oh, look, it's all... Look, I wrote down "Smell of Sanctity" on this on the back of this
smell
thing.
Of sanctity.
Yeah, I know, because we were talking about a t-shirt or whatever. UFO incident, and we also want to do Earth versus the Flying Saucers. But yeah, so a lot of people, I don't know, I kind of feel like this reminded me most of Close Encounters. And it had a very Spielbergian kind of quality to it in some aspects. And it did kind of remind me of Signs as well. I liked this better than Signs, though. I'm not a huge fan of Signs. It's one of, Shyamalan's better movies. But not to be mean, but that's not really saying a lot.
I didn't like it. Yeah. M. Night Shyamalan's best movies are the damn, his superhero trilogy. Over there, four of them. There might have been four of them. The Sixth Sense might be in that same universe.
The rest of them, The Sixth Sense is still his best movie. And yeah, that was like his
the rest of them are just not all that.
And some of them are like really shitty. I mean, some of them are really bad. And like, I haven't seen some of them. I didn't hate The Village as much as some people did. I think we reviewed it not too long ago.
Yeah, that one was okay.
And I saw that one in the theater, actually. Yeah. And I was just kind of like, well, I saw that one and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this.
Wait, is that the one? That was the one where you think it's in the past, but it turns out it's just a cult. Right.
Yeah.
It was just okay.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It wasn't great. I still feel like his first movie was the best one. Yeah. I did like Unbreakable. I did like, and Signs was okay.
What was it called? Unbreakable. What was it? Glass?
Yeah.
The other one? And then
Split.
Yeah, those were fucking great.
Yeah.
That's the way I would picture I think that's kind of real, in a way. I think that's the way superheroes would be.
Yeah.
It'd be like that. But some people are kind of like that. I think, you call it psychic abilities or special gifts and shit. I think people like that do exist. They're just very rare. But that's just, the thing is a lot of shit that they did was within human parameters.
Yeah.
It was just odd, very odd. And that's the way a superhero would really be.
Ben says Signs is his best, in my opinion. I mean, that's a fine opinion to have. It's like, that's not, yeah. I actually don't dislike Signs. It's not my favorite movie of his.
And
I'm
like
not,
it.
But like I said, I'm not the person to like ask about it because I'm not super, super into sci-fi or alien invasion movies. Like, I've liked a lot of them, but it's not usually the genre that I would go to. And that's why I think that I didn't like this movie quite as much as his other two. Because the other two, I mean, Get Out was kind of, to me, came across like very much like the Stepford Wives type of vibe, which I was really into. And Us was just its own kind of nightmarish, weird shit that didn't really remind me of anything else. It was, like, pretty original. And I love doppelganger shit. Like, that doppelganger shit is, like, really, really scary to me. So I think that one kind of hit all my buttons. Whereas, like, this movie, I think it's, like, a great movie. It's very ambitious. And, like I said, I really like that there's a filmmaker out there this high profile that's still making shit that's kind of weird like this. Because a lot of times, the weirder movies, they kind of get relegated to, low-budget kind of shit. Yeah. But Jordan Peele's movies make money, and, like, they get a lot of buzz, and a lot of people go see them. So he's kind of allowed to kind of experiment, and that's awesome. I mean, even when the experiment isn't entirely successful.
It's almost kind of like today's version of the way John Carpenter used to be when he was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of like
Carpenter. And I've heard like some people compare him like that.
Experimental. Carpenter would experiment with some shit.
And I would rather see that a million times than just see like another movie that's fine, but it's just like a bunch of other ones. Yeah. I mean, this one obviously wears a lot of its influences on its sleeve, like I said, but he's pretty open about the movies that he used as inspiration for this, and it's doing its own thing. I mean, I really do like, I did like the twist of it not being a spaceship, because at first I'm just kind of like, so it's just an alien spacecraft, which like I said, not all that original and not my favorite trope, but then the fact of it being like an animal, I thought that was like a cool idea, and I'm sure it's been done before, but not that often, so I thought it was like a good twist on it.
Yeah, but I guess it was just something that just came out of space and decided to live here.
Yeah, and I kind of liked that they left its origin and stuff, like, because like I said, if you're in the point of view of the character, I'm a big fan of like leaving shit as unexplained as possible. Not always, but usually, because you explain shit too much, it's not creepy, it's not mysterious, it's not scary anymore, you don't give a shit anymore. And you're coming at it from the point of view of the characters. If you're in the character's shoes, they don't know what the fuck, where the fuck this thing came from, you know what I mean? They don't know anything about it. So you're just, like, in the same boat as they are, like, reacting to it the same way that they would. And you can put yourself in the character's shoes then, because you're like, well, what if this happened to me? Like, what if I was out on a ranch and, like, there was this cloud that didn't move, and all of a sudden this big fucking thing was coming out of it and, like, sucking people up and eating all of them, yeah. like, and then shitting them back out, like, on top of my house. You know what I mean? That would be pretty upsetting.
Yeah.
It ate a lot of the horses, too, which I think they didn't go too much into, and I didn't actually catch this until later on in the movie, but that's why... You know, like, at the beginning, like, near the beginning where OJ goes to Jupe and asks if he can buy some of his horses back, and Jupe is just kind of like, yeah, let's not talk about, hey, look at my museum and all this other kind of stuff. The reason for that was because he had been feeding the horses to the alien.
Oh, okay.
That's why. Like, I don't think I picked that up until, like, later on, and I was like, yeah. Oh.
I don't think it was an intelligent alien. I think it was just an animal.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying, that he was just, like, this unpredictable animal.
Yeah.
And, like, all of these humans, including Jupe, and including OJ and his sister, were trying to tame the animal or exploit the animal, like, for their own gain, even though it was, like, super, super dangerous. They were, like, doing all this dumb shit. You know, I guess because OJ and M were like, oh, well, we grew up training horses, so this is kind of the same thing. And they do kind of defeat it using those methods. But Jupe's character, he thought he could tame it just because, you know, the chimp didn't kill him when he was a kid.
It was something on par with, like, a sea anemone or a damn jellyfish and a praying mantis. That's what they kept kind of alluding to. It wasn't intelligent. It could signal, though. It was signaling something. The square. Or maybe it was an eye. There's no way of knowing.
Yeah. I kind of thought it was because at the very beginning, like, at the beginning credits, you see something that's like that square, green square thing with, like, this...
It's unfolding on itself.
And it's but you don't know what that is until, like, later on.
Yeah.
But then, like, the square kind of goes in, and then they show that the Edward Muybridge, you know, film thing, which is, like, a famous piece of film history or whatever. So it's kind of like an eye, but it's also, like, a camera.
Like a camera eye.
Like a camera eye.
Some kind of primitive eye.
Because there is, like, a lot of Hollywood history and, the, like, you know, exploitation of, like, lower people, like, in Hollywood and things like that. So I think that he was tying a lot of things in with film, camera, shutters, like, film history, things like that. So there's a lot of little shit like that, like a lot of little Easter eggs, and I mean, and then there was the whole thing too, like when they do the flashback in the with the chimp, where that one shoe was like standing up on its end, like in the, and then that kind of refers back to what they were talking about, something being a bad miracle. And also, I saw somebody online that made the point that it's like maybe that was like a metaphor too for like waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, waiting for something bad to happen. So it could have been that as well. But, you know. But I think that, too, that tied in with, like, the kid, you know, Jupe's character when he was a kid. Seeing that, it was, like, a miraculous thing. And also him not getting killed was a miraculous thing. So he started to get, like he thought he was invincible. And he could just, you know, he could just train this huge alien creature that he didn't know shit about just because of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of what I took from it. I'm not really sure if that's, yeah, Ben said the chimp sequences were really surreal at first. Yeah, you really do kind of have to... When you're just watching it at first, you're just like, what the fuck is going on and what does this have to do with anything? Because it seems like those two things don't really tie in. You don't find out, like, how the chimp story, like, ties in with the other stuff until, like, later on. Danny Rowling said, Jordan Peele is famous for his original style of filming technique, deemed the Humanzee POV filming style. Jeff Yard said, I had to watch the movie several times to pick up some of the little details regarding the story. Yeah, like I said, this one seems a lot more subtle than his other two, and it definitely seems like something that you'd have to watch like a bunch of times and you would maybe pick up more stuff. Nicholas says, the idea that alien technology may be organic in nature is an old idea. I wouldn't say the craft in Nope is an animal, like a sky creature. Yeah, okay. I mean, you know. Talking about sound production. Yeah, the sound in this was also really good. Another reason that I kind of wish that I'd seen it on the big screen. I actually intended to, but we just never got around to it. Ben said it was also about the reflections from stuff making tame animals go nuts. The horse, for instance. Yeah, because that was, yeah, and like looking in the horse's eyes and everything like that. That was kind of like a big thing that, because that was how you kept the jean jacket from eating you. Was
evidently.
Like, yeah.
I guess if you looked at it, it would get you. That doesn't make sense, but maybe it's just a thing of faith.
Well, and it was the same thing as they were talking about before. I think, like, you were in the bathroom or during that one scene, but, like, when OJ was, like, at the horse, like, at that, on that set where they were filming that commercial, and he kept telling all the other people on the crew, like, don't look in the horse's eyes, like, don't look in the horse's eyes, and then, like, one idiot, like, put, like, a mirror thing, like, right up into the horse's eye, and then it kicked out, like, and, you know, so he got fired. So... So I think that that was all kind of like tying back into not showing the animal any aggression, I guess. Because a lot of animals take, if you look them in the face, including chimps, if you look them in the face, then they take that as a sign of aggression and will attack you. And I think that was tying back to the chimp thing too, because even though the kid, you know, he was hiding under the table like during the chimp rampage, and he looked the chimp in the face, but there was like a partial, like a tablecloth, like in between. So he couldn't quite see through, so he wasn't exactly looking at him. You know what I mean? So maybe that's what it was too. But yeah, it's on, if you have Amazon Prime, and you liked his other movies, then it's definitely worth watching. Like I said, don't go into it expecting it to be a horror movie, because it's really not. And I do think that the buildup was a little bit slow, but I'm willing to concede that I, you know, would probably end up watching it again at some point, and I will probably pick up a lot more stuff. I didn't like it as much as his other two, but that might be just be because it's more sci-fi, and I'm not, you know, that's not really my favorite subgenre. But Jeffy Art said, the part with the reflection reminded me of when a male turkey kept attacking my car because it saw itself on the surface. I know this is terrible, but when we were kids, you know, you could get those, like, what they used to call Siamese fighting fish?
Yeah.
And you can really only keep one at a time, if you don't know. You can only keep one in a tank. They're beautiful, but the male ones are, like, super aggressive. And if there's another one, like, in their territory, then they'll just tear each other up. So a lot of times, like, little kids, if you want to be mean and cruel, then you hold a mirror up to the fish tank, and then the fish will, like, bang itself, like, against trying to get that other fish.
You also can't put them in a big tank. They'll jump out.
Yeah, that too.
You got to keep them in a little bitty tank. They evolved.
They need to settle down.
They evolved to be basically in, like, a damn hoof print, a cow hoof print filled with water. That's where they mate. They live in a damn...
Yeah, they like small spaces.
A little glass of water. They keep everything else out.
If they get, like, in too big of an area, they get, like, agoraphobia or something, and they're just like, that's too much.
They're waiting for a female to jump in. That's what they're doing. And if a male jumps in, they fight, try to force each other out.
Get out of my puddle.
Yeah. I think they come near, they're from around those rice paddies, wherever they come from.
So they each have their own little puddle.
They have their own little fucking puddle that they're in.
Which is funny. It's just like little... He's the one I accidentally, like, jumped in and said, I'm sorry, I'm jumping into the next one.
Yeah, and then they force him out.
Danny Rowling said, what's tomorrow's A Haunting episode going to be? I think we're going to do Blood Visions from season 5, episode 1, because I was looking through all the episode lists, and there's not really a lot left in the 1-4 thing that we haven't already covered at some point. Okay. So I'm guessing that we're going to have to start on season 5. And I remember Blood Visions being an okay episode. But I think that's the first one of season 5. So we'll probably cover that one tomorrow. If it changes, I'll let you know. But other than that, it's probably not going to. So, because we got to watch it tonight in an hour. But yeah. So hopefully you guys have enjoyed this little discussion of Jordan Peele's Nope. And we will see you guys again tomorrow. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll see you then. Bye.